Shanti, Shanti, Om. Good evening. I get to drink water.
You don't.
It's good to be with you again. Welcome. I want you to ask yourself the question, what is my real reason for coming here tonight? Why have I decided to come to a meeting like this? What do I want to achieve? What am I looking for? If you're real honest with yourself, you will find that most people are interested in improving their humanhood. They want to become better human beings. They want to improve their affairs, their health, their finances, their position, their status. And of course you realize this is the wrong reason for coming here. We're not interested in your humanhood. For the premise of this teaching is, you are inhuman. You are not your body, nor your mind, nor are you the doer. So to improve your humanhood is folly. You're not trying to become better human beings. You're trying to forget that you are a human being and focus your attention on your divinity, on yourself, on the I Am. Until your humanhood has been transcended and transmuted, that's called liberation or awakening, which is really your real nature. Then you are free. Sometimes it's difficult to understand. What if I'm dying of a disease? What if I'm impoverished? What if people are trying to kill me? How can I forget about that? If I become self-realized, what will happen to my body? Will it continue being sick or impoverished or waiting to be killed? By asking a premise like that, question like that, you're taking the wrong direction. You don't exist as you appear. You have no body. The body appears to be real, but upon investigation you will find that it's not. When you discover your reality, your real nature, the body is transcended. It no longer is the same thing to you. It may appear real to others, but to you, it's no longer there. It is like the water in a mirage. It appears to be real, but it's not. As far as your bodily functions are concerned, they will go on. That's how it will appear to others. Your body will appear to go through experiences, but not to you when you are awakened. You will appear to be the doer to others, but not to you. You're not trying to hide it or make believe that you don't have a body. You do not even identify with something that makes you think you don't have a body. You become yourself, absolute reality. That's what you've always been. Pure awareness. Satchitananda. I am that I am. That is your real nature right now. That's what you really are. This is why it was difficult to understand when people like Ramana Maharshi or Ramakrishna were dying from cancer. Devotees were weeping, crying. And both Ramana and Ramakrishna try to explain. Don't be fools. I'm not going anywhere. I am where I will always be. What you see is not a true picture. Yet the devotees still couldn't understand, because they were coming from a human standpoint. And of course, in the human world, there is suffering, there is death, there is birth, there is misery, there are all kinds of things. And there are also beautiful things. But they're all part of the same Maya, the same grand illusion. Therefore, try to understand this. Everything will work out. There is absolutely nothing to worry about. All is well. the more you try to think about your body in order to improve it anyway, the worse it will become. So you are using your mind to outpicture something that perhaps is not your karma. When I tell you to not worry about your body, I know from whence I speak. Your body does not exist. It never existed and never will exist. Your real nature is unbounding joy, love, peace. You are not what appears to be. Do not be afraid. There is nothing in the universe that can possibly hurt you. Everything is all right. If you believe in a God, see that God is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. Realize that that God is your true nature. That God is you. No one else. But not as your ego. Not as your body. Not as your mind. But as you. You are that. Understand the true meaning of the self. Unalloyed happiness. Pure intelligence. Ultimate oneness. You are that. You focus your mind on God by realizing I am. I am not this nor that, just I am. I have always been, and I will always be. Do not pray for things. Spend your time identifying with yourself. Praying for things is a waste of time. You may get the things, but you'll be sorry afterward. It reminds me of the story of this Catholic man who wanted $50,000 to remodel his home. So he went to his church and he said, "Father, I've been coming to this church since I was a child. Now I need $50,000 to remodel my home. Can you please let me have it?" And the father said, "Son, we do not lend money here, nor give money. Go home and pray to Jesus, and you may get it." So he went home and he got down on his knees and he said, "Jesus, I have to remodel my home. Please give me $50,000. Nothing happened. And he did this every day for a month. And nothing happened. So he said, "Jesus, I'll make a deal with you. I'll take $25,000. Can you see your way to let me have that?" Nothing happened. He prayed for $25,000 all month, and nothing happened. So he got angry. He got up one dark night and went to the church, snuck in, and stole a statue of the Mother Mary, Jesus' mother. Took it home, got a handkerchief, put it around her mouth, another handkerchief tied it to her eyes, and said, "Okay, Jesus, if you want to see your mother again, you better give me $25,000. That's the way we pray.
Did it work?
We think that God is going to give us gifts, presents, if we pray hard enough. And sometimes we get them, and that's unfortunate. For then we believe that whatever we need, we just have to pray. Prayer has its points. It can increase your concentration. And make you come closer to the deity of your choice. But asking for gifts is a mistake. For you just might get them. And then your problems will really start. Forget about your body, your needs. Everything will work out. Ask yourself, who has to do all of these things? Who's worried? Who fears? And wait. The answer will come, "I am. I fear." Then what is the source of the I? And trace the I to its source by holding on to it, by following the I, abiding in the I. the day will come when you finally awaken and you will be free. What I'm simply telling you is this. Make your life simple. Keep inquiring, who am I? Whatever your need may be, whatever your position is, wherever you come from, makes no difference. Do not compare yourself with anyone else. Keep inquiring. Who am I? Where did this I come from? What is its source? Follow the eye to the spiritual heart center on the right side of your chest. Allow it to merge. The spiritual heart center is the self. It is infinity. Watch yourself and be aware of your thoughts. Whatever thoughts come to you, good or bad, always ask yourself, to whom do they come? You do this all day long. Catch yourself, remind yourself. When you ask, to whom do they come? Observe the thoughts that come into your head. Become the witness. Then ask yourself again, to whom do they come? Do the same thing. You can do this when you're meditating formally if you want to. Or do it during the day. All day. Even when you're sleeping. Forget about time. Forget about the world. Remember, when I say forget about the world, I'm not saying to ignore your responsibilities. There is something that will take care of them. There is something that knows how to take care of your body that you believe is real. That's the wonderful thing about this teaching. You do not have to wonder about your body. You do not have to worry that if you do not do so and so, such and such, the work will not get done. Your body will continue to do whatever it came here to do. It has absolutely nothing to do with you. Leave your body alone. It will always take care of itself. And you do the work you came here to do. That's abiding in the self. The source. The spiritual sense on the right side of your chest. The eye appears to have come from that. The eye appears to emanate from the spiritual center. That's how it appears to rise when you wake up. When you were asleep, the eye subsided in your chest, in your heart. When you wake up, become aware of what happens. Notice how the eye becomes larger. It goes from your heart to your brain. When it gets to your brain, you identify with the world. You say, I am hungry. I am thirsty, I am late, I need this, I need that. Yet when you're falling asleep, those thoughts begin to leave you as the eye subsides again into the spiritual center. Become aware of this. Watch what happens. Observe. Catch the eye doing all these things. This is called abiding in the eye. When you watch the eye becoming stronger as it goes to your brain, and you become worldly. And again, when you fall asleep, the eye leaves your brain, goes back down to the spiritual system. The whole secret is to keep the eye in the spiritual center at all times. This is called liberation. And this happens by inquiring, who am I? What you're really saying is, what is the source of the I? You have been watching, you have been observing. You have been observing the I going back to the spiritual center at night as you're falling asleep. And you have been observing the I coming to life again as you wake up. And you inquire, what is this I? Who gave it life? Where did it come from? What is its source? And you keep still. As thoughts come to you, you inquire, to whom do they come? You do this again and again and again. One day something will happen. Your eye will melt into the source while you're awake. and you will experience yourself as consciousness, as pure awareness, as absolute reality, and you will be free. Shavaya, peace. We're open to questions, statements, criticism. Whatever you like to talk about, feel free to do so. There's benefit to it if you are sincere and you forget about yourself and you realize that you are the self of all. When you realize you are the self of all, your prayer becomes universal. It can be of some benefit. It is better, though, to know who you are. If you understand your true nature, then again you realize your omnipresence. For as consciousness, you are all-pervading. And when you are all-pervading, it encompasses every mineral, every vegetable, every animal, every human. Then you don't have to pray. You just have to be. But in the beginning stages, prayer can be beneficial. As I mentioned before, it makes you one-pointed after a while. It makes you realize that the object you're praying to is none other than yourself. And that's real prayer. When you remember who you are. So when you pray for somebody else, or to improve the world condition, you are invoking duality. There's you and the world condition. There's the one praying for a purpose. There's only one purpose, and that is the self, which you are already. At that point, prayer becomes fruitless. For there's no one to pray. For whom should you pray? The self? The self is already perfect, bright and shining. It doesn't need any help. The universe will be taken care of. You don't have to worry about the world. Awaken, and then see if you have to pray. was first awakened. I don't see if there's any question like that.
Robert, when you say that the eye abides in the heart center on the right side of the chest, the body doesn't exist. How can the eye live in a place that doesn't exist?
Due to the fact the self is the spiritual center. You are that self. And you're using your mind to abide in the self. When the mind is made to abide in the self, then the mind, the body disappears. And only the reality or the self is left, which has always been. So, as long as you believe you are the body, then you try to abide in the self, which is the center in the right side of the chest. But when you merge, there will be no body, no center, no self, only consciousness.
I've always heard kind of interesting in the Bible, it says the heart of the wise man is on the right, the fool's is on the left.
Yes, it does.
That's what you're telling.
Yes. By fools, they mean that the belief of a body and a mind is foolish. Wisdom, reality, is the self, the real self. So when you abide in the self, that is wisdom. When you abide as the body, that's ignorance. Well, there's nothing to see except yourself. It's like a screen and its images. I see the whole universe is superimposed on the screen. Except I'm aware of it. Then everything is really the screen. The images come and go. So I see myself as the universe. All this is the self, and I am that. It has nothing to do with Robert. It is pure consciousness. And pure consciousness is self-contained. I am is that.
say one should not ignore one's responsibilities? What is one's responsibilities? How does one know one's dharma?
One's responsibility is to know the self, is to know who you are. And that's the only responsibility you really have. Everything else will take care of itself. As far as your physical responsibilities and your world responsibilities go, the power that knows how to grow mangoes on a mango tree, that knows how to make it rain, will take care of that. Have no fear. You will be looked after. So your only responsibility is to awaken. That's it. If you are in yourself, where would the ego come from? There is no ego that exists whatsoever. The ego appears to exist when you are the body. It's because of your ego that you believe you are a body. But when you awaken, there's no body, there's no ego, there's no world, there's no universe, there's no God, there's no delusion. There's no awakening. There's only the self. So you should inquire, to whom is the ego? Who thinks I've got an ego to get rid of? If you really had to get rid of your ego, you would have a fight in your hands, because the ego would resist. But since the ego never existed to begin with, all you have to do is come to that realization and wake up. We've got some prasad tonight. so we can cast them out. Let me take this one real quick. Ed was supposed to come and get this one real quick. He didn't show up. Break it and we can break bread together. I'll take it back home. And we got some bagels. We've got a little piece of bread. Pizza bread for your enjoyment. Oh, we've got another bread.
I think
you can think of
all this wonderful exotic design.
What's that, Tom?
I think you could just. Yes,
sir. Your mouth is full. I can't understand what you're saying.
Trader Joe's.
I'm going to Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's. Thank you, Trader Joe. Joe.
Good word,
Joe.
We were homeless during a bhandara. That's an occasion when you bring in homeless people, poor people, and give them food. And I guess they can't get up this mountain.
Maybe we can each bring a homeless person with us on Sunday.
Great idea.
Yeah.
We could all go down to Hollywood Boulevard and look for homeless.
Maybe people know where they hang out.
There are plenty of homeless ones on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah. Well, there's parks down there in Hollywood.
We take our bandara down there and see.
Bring all this bread. Someone will bring butter. Bread and butter.
Any more announcements or comments or anything you'd like to say?
You said something once about, I read about the transcriptions, how people should read them. Take a part of it and study it each night.
Oh, the way to read these transcriptions, if you're interested, and stay with it for the week until you get another one. But first go through it and then start all over again. Take it paragraph by paragraph. Cogitate on it, ponder it, feel what it means to you personally. And do this until you get a new one. Do not read it like you do a book and put it down and say, where's the next one? But work on it. Identify with it. Assimilate it. All these things help. Remember to worship yourself, to love yourself, to bow to yourself, to kneel to yourself, because God dwells in you as you. Peace. I love you. Be happy. Until we meet again, all is well.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.